We open up this hour with AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne and a lot to talk about with the Congressman. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being here.
It's good to be with you, Sean.
It's good to have you on the phone and talk about what is or is not happening right now in Washington. Now, we, you know, I asked you probably 25 times leading up to the election when we were going to get something done on, and I'll just call it CARES Act 2, and you can correct me on the right language, but you said, well, wait till after the election. All right, it's after the election. There's some movement, but what exactly is the movement on in the House right now for a CARES Act bill?
So last week, a group of senators and House members from both parties put forth a proposed compromise deal that tops out a little more than $900 billion. And, you know, Pelosi for the longest time was stuck at 2-point-something trillion. The president actually offered her 1.8 trillion and she wouldn't take it. Well, post-election, she's now pushing this $900 billion bill. And she's been having conversations with Senator McConnell, and their staff have been having conversations. And I'm not in those conversations, but from what I'm being told, they are making some progress. So I think there's a pretty good chance that sometime between now and Christmas, we're going to get a bill, and we'll be able to vote it and get something done before we have to leave for the holidays.
I want to get into the red herrings in this in just a little bit, but let's talk about things important to most people. Now, let's talk first of all about PPP. This is a you know, something you've talked about with us several times here. What about PPP? Are we looking at extensions, new funding? Is it part of this bill?
Oh yeah, I think the one thing we've got a lot of consensus on is PPP. So. And we not only not need to put more money into it, but there are all sorts of restrictions we've got on it now. There's some issues that we've left hanging about how people get their forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we would all like to get all that straightened there and make sure that PPP program continues to work. And it's worked very well to protect a lot of jobs in America. But the real sticking point, Sean, is still this amount of money that Pelosi wants to give to state and local governments. And if you start out, you wanted $1 trillion or more than that for state and local governments. And in this compromise bill, it's down to $150 billion. But here's the point that I and others have been making. Why are we sending them more money when they can't spend the money we sent them?
Right, right. Help me with that. Help me understand that.
Well, I've told you all along that the reason she wants to do this is that we've got blue states and blue cities out there that have mismanaged themselves both before and during this pandemic. And they want us to bail out their poor decision-making. Alabama, the state of Alabama, ended its fiscal year September 30 in the black, okay? Didn't have a deficit. Now, I'm sure they would like to have had more money than they had, and they would have had it if the economy hadn't been thrown into the hole for a while. But I can tell you, there's not a whole lot of appetite on our side to just keep throwing money at these state and local governments around the country, not like Alabama, that have been so mismanaged. So I think that's going to be the big sticking point.
But, you know, I saw the, press release came out last week, and the governor's office here was saying, well, they would get it spent before the end of the year. But it seems like with the pressure, and not saying there's not good programs are being funded, but maybe we are finding ways to spend the money that we wouldn't, and I'm just talking about Alabama, and then we can apply to other states, that we wouldn't if it didn't have that deadline or if there was an extension. Because I worry with the number of cases rising right now for COVID and corona, here we are trying to get this money spent where it, to me, would be a better deal to just let the states have 3 more months or 6 more months or something to see what happens here till the vaccine, you know, makes a difference.
Well, that is the position a lot of us have, is that we should just let them take some of the time and other restrictions on the money they've already got and say, look, you don't have those restrictions anymore. Spend it as you feel like you need to deal with the effects, direct and indirect, of this disease. So that is a part of the discussion. But in addition to that, Pelosi wants us to get another $150 billion. We sent out $125 billion to the state and local governments back in March or April. And as of today, they still haven't spent a big chunk of it. We're going to give them an extra $25 billion, you know, $150 billion instead of $125 billion. And how long is it going to take for them to figure out how to spend that? Now, we have some limitations on it right now. I want to take off. But I'm just not convinced that they need the money. I'm just not.
Right. I don't know what next year looks like for those states or here. It just seems like if you throw another tranche of money even bigger than the first one, and now you have a Biden administration, there may be some creative problem solving in some of those states, right? For reasoning of why those states or why those blue counties and cities are in a deficit, and then they define it and say, oh, look, that money can be applied to this.
Oh, they'll let them use it for whatever they want to use it for, and that's the way it's going to work. I mean, Democrats just believe spending money is good in and of itself. But, you know, one of the worst parts about this is that it enables these governors and mayors in these blue areas to continue to make decisions about how they are opening or not opening their society and their economy, and we're just enabling their bad decision-making. I mean, if you go look at the unemployment rate in New York for October, which is the latest numbers we've got, the unemployment numbers in October for Alabama, Alabama's unemployment rate is, you know, a little more than half as big as New York's. It's because we've made better decisions. Why would we enable New York to make bad decisions?
Well, let's talk about this other part. When I mentioned this morning, just looking through the bit I had, I said, well, there's going to be renewed federal assistance, right, for unemployment, that additional, I think, $300 a week. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's what I understand, yes.
Okay, because we saw that last time. I mean, that's one of the places, if somebody lost a job through no fault of their own, I see taking care of those people to get them back on their feet. But people back here in Alabama, business owners said, hey, you do that and you add that to the state stuff, then people have no incentive to go back to work.
Yeah, and if you drive around, and I have been driving around, just like a lot of people, doing some shopping, I see lots of help wanted signs, now hiring signs, retail, restaurants, you name it. So the jobs are out there, and we don't want to disincentivize people from going out and getting the work that's out there. So the idea behind $300, what it was before was $600 a week.
Right.
This would reduce it down to $300 a week, which the whole idea there, I think, is to try to get it under what people want minimum wage to be as sort of an incentive for people to get back to work. So, I mean, that part may actually be one of the less controversial parts. Another big controversy from the Democrats' point of view in that bill and in McConnell's bill is liability protection, which he's been talking about, I've been talking about, a lot of people have been talking about for months now, because how can you expect businesses to open if they open and all they're doing is opening themselves up to a lawsuit because a customer claims they got COVID when they walked into business? I mean, how would you ever be able to prove that? But, I mean, it's liability protection, I think, is a legitimate part of this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not we've talked about this, and I don't have the legal training, obviously you do, but I don't think you could prove that in the court of law. But that scares the heck out of a small business or, you know, retail operation that would have to spend a lot of money and a lot of time defending that and not being able to run their business. So, yeah, I think that liability issue for business and, you know, to some degree at a local or regional government level, I think decisions are made. I just feel, I don't know for a fact, but I think decisions are made for schools, decisions are made for municipalities, different things because of that, you know, the sword of Damocles up there they believe could fall at any time for liability.
Oh, I think that's correct. You know, there's a group of lawyers out there that have made a fortune off of preying on these school systems with particularly these lawsuits over special education students. I can just see, you know, band of lawyers saying, all right, now we're going to make a bunch of money off of these schools, suing them because they brought kids back to school when it wasn't safe. Good Lord. I mean, you know, where does that end? We have to have liability protection to give the incentive to businesses, et cetera, to open back up. And until we do, I think there are going to be businesses going to say, I'm taking the risk. I'm just not. I'll go out of business. Well, I'll take that risk.
Yeah, the other question here, and I see it coming in on the text line, it did this morning, was what was not in this latest CARES Act, the CARES Act 2, and that is the individual checks, right, the $1,200. Is that what you're looking at now?
What I'm hearing, they don't have stimulus checks in this bill. It has been a moving target, so they may have added it since I last talked to somebody about it, but it's my understanding they do not have stimulus checks in there. But, you know, this is a moving target. This is very much a work in progress, and I could say that. And you know, later this afternoon, they could announce, oh, we put it in there. So stay tuned as they negotiate it. But this is a very serious negotiation. This is not the little Panama we were going back through in August and September and October and November. This is the real thing. And so as you get to the real thing, things start will start popping, and I predict you're going to see some changes to what we've been talking about over the course of the next 3 or 4 days.
Text question here. Is there anything in the bill about student loan relief? Do you know?
Well, my understanding is that they will extend the not the fact that you owe the money, but extend the time you have to pay it.
Okay.
So that, you know, everybody's had relief from having to make those payments in the last several months. They'll just extend it sometime into next year.
All right. So the other part of this discussion is what I'm hearing today is, and late last week was, well, there's the CARES Act 2 thing, but there's a lot to talk about here with whether you can own a tiger or not, and whether you can smoke marijuana while you do it. What explain this.
We're in the middle of a generation-defining pandemic. We're in the worst season for the pandemic, and the two pieces of legislation we were called to Washington to vote on last week was a bill to legalize pot and a bill to make it more difficult for people to have big animals like tigers and lions. Just silliness. Neither bill going anywhere in the Senate. Sort of the leitmotif of this year. That's what we do. We just show up and vote on stuff that's not going anywhere and waste a lot of time. I mean, it's very disappointing we were called up for that. Now, tomorrow afternoon, we will vote on the National Defense Authorization Act. It has been worked out in conference. So that's a significant bill. That's a reason to be there and be doing good stuff. I do anticipate, by the way, that tomorrow a bill will pass in the House by unanimous consent that will rename the post office in Fairhope after Jack Edwards. I do think that's
really
going to pass tomorrow. Yeah.
Good. That's good news. Good news. I know there's some – there are things that may not – it's not to say they don't have a priority, but they – like you said, in the pandemic – because the discussion of – I would like to hear the debate on taking marijuana off the federal registry or keeping it on but or enforcing the law in states by state. I think those are – that's a fair discussion, but as you said, here's the problem. It seems – it seems mute. It seems like Washington's deaf when that discussion's happening and people are trying to figure out how they're going to keep their business open, whether they are, what they're going to do with their children. I mean, whether the kids can go back to school.
Yeah. Well, we've been going through this since the end of July. And you know, it's been silly. I mean, if you're going to be serious-minded about it, and they're being serious-minded about this pandemic bill now, but if we had been serious-minded about it this back in July, we could have had this done before we broke for the August recess. We should have had this done before we broke for the August recess. And then they had that silly little game during the August recess. Well, you're on 24 hours notice to come back. Well, trust me, I didn't plan anything over the month of August that took that seriously because I knew they weren't going to do it. But now they are. Now we're going to get a bill. It may not be a bill that I like everything in. But we need to do something. Everybody knows we need to do something. We just need to get it done.
All right. And before we wrap up here, vaccine. And something we talked about this morning on the show is, Alabama was going to get, I think, like 112,000 doses, and then it was down to half that or less. What are you hearing in Washington for the rollout for us here in Alabama? What should we expect?
Well, what's happening is that the producers of these two vaccines are having supply chain troubles, which you talk to anybody in industry right now, everybody's having supply chain problems. And so there's an effort to try to use the resources of the federal government to try to get through those supply chain problems. And I think that will actually happen, but will it happen in time enough for us to move things a little more quickly before the end of the year? Probably not. So, we've always had all along the priority was frontline health care workers first and foremost. And I've got a sister-in-law that falls in that category. She's an ICU nurse at Thomas Hospital. I mean, we need them to be vaccinated so they're not afraid to go to work. So they're first. And second are people who are in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and the like, because they're the most at-risk people in our society. They're the ones who, if they get this disease, very difficult for them to withstand what the disease does to their body. So that's who we'll get it next. So we have a priority system in place, and I think that's what we're going to follow. I still believe that by July the 1st, this thing will be broadly out there enough to where just about anybody can get it. And that will change next school year, next football season, You'd probably be in time enough to make sure we have a pretty good summer season at the beach, et cetera. But you just can't ramp up the production of something like this and maintain the quality and then get it out there in the way that you can administer it appropriately. It just takes a while to get up to that point. And remember, we have never, ever, ever gotten the vaccine for a virus anywhere near this quick. Mm-hmm. We got this in less than a year, and it usually takes 3 to 5 years. I don't want to sound too impatient about it because I know the miracle we've worked to get to where we are.
No, it is. I wonder just one last thought here on the flip side of that, just to go on the other side. Now we have ubiquity with the vaccine. It's everywhere, and then people don't take it. Do you see, coming from the federal level, incentive or compulsion for people to take the vaccine?
Well, I don't think that government has the power to compel you to take a vaccine. I mean, if somebody tried that, if Biden or somebody tried that, I think that a court would probably stop that. I don't see that. I have heard this proposal from a former colleague of mine named John Delaney, a member from Maryland, that John's proposing paying people to take the vaccine. It's a little funny. I think we got to do is do a better job of communicating to people and explain to them that the vaccine is safe and that it is effective. And why in the world in this environment would anybody choose not to take a safe and effective vaccine? Now, I know there's some people out there who are anti-vaxxers. I know that. But this is America. We have the FDA. They are the gold standard for this sort of thing around the world. If the FDA approves it as safe and effective, I think we are all smart to take it. And if a broad group of us doesn't take it, then that harms the rest of us because we can't fully reopen without it. So we have got to do a better job of communicating to people that once this thing's approved by the FDA, they can have confidence it's both safe and effective.
Well said. All right, Congressman, we appreciate your time. I know a lot going on in Washington right now, and y'all will break for Christmas when? When's the date?
We don't know. We were supposed to break this Friday. Uh-huh. The House was. In the Senate the following Friday, but we got word this morning that the funding bill is not ready, the funding the government for the rest of the fiscal year, and that we're going to pass a continuing resolution this week to carry it into either next week or, God forbid, the week after Christmas. But the only good news about that is that that should be just one vote. So you come in and you vote and you go home. I hope that's the case. But if you've watched Nancy Pelosi run the floor on the House of Representatives, you would have so little confidence in all of what I just said.
Congressman, I appreciate your frankness, and we'll check back with you soon.
Thanks. Good to talk to you, Sean.
As always, Congressman Bradley Byrne joining us.